Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise, I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now. In case you forgot or fell off, I'm still hot, knock your shelf. Money stack, fat, plus I can't turn the swell off. A franchise, big business, a living's a sword of magic I witness. So you hear those horns and finish. A soldier, and I stay under you fighting. Plus I'm stumbling on your chumps like I'm thunder and lightning. Ain't no way you breaking me, kid. I'm harder than nails, plus I keep it all locked like I'm part of the jam. Slaughtering, stay on the competition. I got the whole block wishing they could run with my division, but they're going fishing. With no bait, can't your boy hold weight? I got my soul straight. I brush your mouth like Colgate. And any weather will never better your voice so hot. You never catch me in the next man's sweater.
Awful.
If they hate, let them hate. I mean, drop your whole clan. Lay your ass down for the 3 second 10. Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's the franchise born shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
Doug, you ever get in front of a camera and post on YouTube you rapping to wrestling intros?
Not once ever. Now, did he make that song up, or is he...
That's John Cena's intro music. John Cena's intro music.
And you could just feel the cock oozing from every pore.
Well, at that one scene right at the end, you could tell that he was definitely... He turned into a cock there.
Stingray Doug will be with us at 8:30.
Okay.
To talk it over. I guess he has television shows going now.
Why'd you laugh? Plowsy, why'd you laugh?
Plowhawk's Laugh is brought to you by the Post Sports Bar and Grill, the official cheesesteak of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
I always said I think he underutilizes himself and doesn't make as much money as he could being a personality. So this is
you see his
cool.
Tax returns, ho?
No, I think he could be on like a YouTube. I think he could make more money off of YouTube or do his own bits. So I hope that's what he's doing.
Some people, it doesn't matter. They just they would pay just to say they're media members.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
ooh,
whoa,
who's
whoa,
ever done
whoa,
that?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Kelly Chase with us at 9:15. Brought to you.
He
by
does not
Petromart. And Stingray will be with us in about 15 minutes. Send your emails in Hot Chats email the day the morning after at InsideSTL.com. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. Doug, if you're watching the games, it's time to start making money. MyBookie is the industry-leading website that hooks you up for all of your betting needs. And with their great odds, fast payouts, and decades of expertise, you can bet with confidence. Your team doesn't even have to win. They just need to cover the spread. What are you waiting for? Lay down some cash and win big today. Or if you know your team sucks, do yourself a favor and bet against them. I feel like they targeted the state of Missouri with that. If they lose, you'll make money. And if they win, you'll still be happy. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we're urging you to make your way to mybookie.ag. The promo code is radio. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with that promo code up to 100% bonus. That's right, 100% bonus. Use the promo code radio to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So last night, I'm watching the World Series. It was Game 7 of the 2017 World Series last night in Los Angeles. Angeles Dodgers and the Houston Astros played.
Larry King had a parka.
Yeah, he was a little bundled up, wasn't he?
Wasn't it 100 degrees there the last time?
It was 69 degrees at first pitch.
He looked like a little troll in some innings. He would just be nestling. Almost looked like there's nobody in there but just a coat.
I did notice that he still enjoys his Snick Snacks. I don't know if he had the ice cream or a parfait, and then he was eating some other stuff.
Who doesn't enjoy Snick Snacks?
Well, you just figure it's Larry King. I don't know. He's a little snacker.
So it's 5-0 after 2 innings. And you, Darvish, I mean, you know, I'm going to be wandering all over the place. Eventually, I'm going to get to my post on the fan page about betting the over on this thing, which was an absolute unmitigated disaster. But since I said the name Yu Darvish, I was watching the Fox post-game show with Kevin Burkhardt, Alex Rodriguez, David Ortiz, Keith Hernandez, and Frank Thomas. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday, in particular how well Joe Buck handled that Corey Seager ball that I thought was a home run in Game 6 and didn't blow the call, which could have easily been done, I think. But how good Alex Rodriguez is, he really is. Now I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm blown away by how good he is. He's outstanding, and I'm surprised he's even doing it. I guess he only does it, you know, a couple weeks a year, so it's not a big deal.
He needs the money.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know.
Give him good PR for if he does go in the Hall of Fame. Maybe people who had a bad reputation about him maybe kind of see a good side to him.
He was the best player in the game for quite a while.
Yes, indeed. But obviously rubbed people the wrong way with the multiple performance-enhancing drugs issue. But the point is how good he is. And he said the midway point of the season, one team went out and got Justin Verlander and one team went out and got Yu Darvish. And I think at the time, I would have certainly said Yu Darvish is the better acquisition. Because you remember Verlander, for as great as he was in October, he wasn't really doing that well in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about wins.
He looked like a different guy.
Yeah,
I don't know
and
what
he was just so good. But Yu Darvish couldn't get out of the second inning in both of his starts in the World Series. That's devastating. That is devastating. And even if you don't lose the games, of course they lost last night, that there's a domino effect in postseason baseball, especially if it's a game three where you have back-to-back games following that on your bullpen. And what a disaster. I mean, for a guy who, when you line up the rotations of both teams, and of course the Dodgers have the guy, and the Astros also had a Cy Young winner in Keuchel, but you line up those rotations, and I think many people, maybe I'm wrong on this, would say the third best pitcher of all of the rotations would be Darvish. I always make reference to Rich Hill being a kind of an up flying under the radar guy because he's older and, you know, just kind of recently popped up. Verlander going in, maybe, but if you would line up the rotations like just at a standard time in August, you would go, oh, the third best pitcher, or maybe even second best pitcher, is Yu Darvish. And he just was an absolute disaster.
21.60 ERA for the World Series.
My God.
He's been lasted around long one enough, and two-thirds.
You wouldn't think the moment was too big for him. And, you know, if he had an injury or something, they probably weren't going to tell anybody. He may have just been totally out of
they
gas.
They kept talking about
point.
The baseballs because his slider is so good. And if the grip and the how slippery the baseballs, quote-unquote, were, that seemed to be an issue because his slider kept stalling right on the
But other pitchers pitch well. Kershaw went in there and threw four scoreless. You know, we see in the playoffs, as soon as a pitcher struggles, you get him out there, especially in the World Series. The only way that the Dodgers could have saved it is if Darvish went out from the mound, threw a warm-up, and they took him out right there.
Yes.
Because he was bad from the get-go.
My thought was, if you've got Clayton Kershaw ready to go, and he threw four innings, very good innings last night, why not start him?
Oh, that's so results-oriented.
Well, but if you're going to pitch him that long, and he's the best guy you got, Darvish was lit up the last time he pitched.
Right, but you go into it saying Darvish is a good pitcher. I agree. If you're handicapping it before the playoffs, Darvish is a guy you want in your rotation.
Rest. I mean, Kershaw threw Sunday night.
And so, but you know you have Kershaw working out of the bullpen. I don't think anyone expected him to throw four innings and be as good as... He got knocked around,
Had Forsyth or Barnes gotten on base in the bottom of the fourth, Kershaw would have been done. That was the plan. I mean, if you recall, if you're watching it very closely, Kershaw was sitting on the bench, and if either one of them would have gotten on base, he would have been done. He didn't, and they kept him in there. So I post on the fan pin, and Charlie Marlowe and I discuss the literal zero upside of posting sports wagers in advance. Now, one of the great keyboard gangster moves, and I don't know what's a keyboard gangster move, it's just kind of an ABC play of social media, is after you win a bet, you post the ticket. Because Doug, at that point, you know the result.
Right.
And that's ballsy. But
kind of like when we do our picks and you pick a game that's already been played.
Yeah, it's easier that way. I agree with that. Much easier.
But I'm looking at, so the over-under, when it's 5-0 in the bottom of the second or third, is it 10.5? And it's already 5-0. Mm-hmm. And even though the Dodgers didn't do anything against McCullers, if you, again, I'm going to nerd out here. I'm going to get in the weeds. I mean, they were hit, not only were they getting on base, but they were making some really solid contact. Puig with a couple of hard hit balls. Justin Turner with some hard hit balls. And they were on base. Problem for the Dodgers is they went 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position. On the other side of things, even though the Astros put up 5 runs, they went 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. So from my standpoint, I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh my God, this is you know, and I would make the bet again. And I'm sure some people would go, well, you lost. Why would you make the bet again? But you don't get to make a bet knowing the results. You make a bet with the information you have. And unfortunately, when you lose, sometimes it doesn't work out. There's no such thing as a sure thing. But based on the information you have, which is what you're seeing early on, and then knowing the nature of a game seven, which is guys are going to be pitching on short rest, and you see the way that people are making contact, this isn't going to be, you know, I don't know, who started game seven for the Yankees in that 2001 where it was Schilling and back and forth, Randy Johnson, the Diamondbacks, and the Yankees had, I don't know.
Whitey Ford usually got that call.
I think it might have been Figueroa.
I think it might have been him or Mike Mussina, but either way, that wasn't going to be the pace of the game. That wasn't the game flow, so to speak. And so I got cash in on a live bet on the over on 9.5. I think I might have got an 8.5, a 9.5, and then also a 10.5. And most of the people on the fan page were like, yeah, I mean, that's a very valuable play. A couple people, and I tipped my cap to them, said, I like the under, and this is in the moment. So I respect the in the moment. And I said, well, if you'd like the under, I'd be happy to take your wager, and we can do a little business.
I don't know why you're saying that.
Kurt Schilling, Roger Clemens game
Roger
seven.
Clemens. Yeah, how about
pretty
that?
Pretty good matchup.
Yeah, I would say.
Fritz Peterson.
Fritz Peterson?
He and Mike Kekich traded wives.
Thank you, Doug.
You couldn't bet on that, could you? Could you bet on that?
Yeah, they
leave
the live bet. Yeah.
One of them worked out, one of them didn't.
So I wagered with a gentleman, and at that point, I think the number was 8.5, but it was -140, Doug. So I said, if the over hits, I'll pay you 50. If the under hits, you pay me 35. That matches up with the math on the 140 thing.
So you're gambling on the fan page.
Right, but here's the thing, and here's my reason.
So you have to pretend it's milkshakes or something.
Doug, what's the
Parameters of a website that is also a wagering bulletin board?
Did you know this gentleman, like, personally?
No, I don't know either of the people I wound up betting with.
Okay, that's a little iffy. You're at the mercy of them paying you.
Well, I owe them, and I've already Venmoed. I don't have the Venmo for the other guy. I mean, it was $20. It's not, yeah. You know. But the point is, I tip my cap to them because oftentimes what you have happen, and this is how I mitigate this. This is my recommendation to Charlie as well, because when you post something and you like a game and then it doesn't hit, the Twitter tweeters or the Facebookers will go, how'd that work out for you? Hey, bitch, if you really feel confident.
You don't have to curse.
It's not cursing. If you feel really strongly about it, then in the moment, say, hey, I disagree. And I'll throw it out on the table and we can trace. And that's what a couple of these guys did. And I said, Venmo for rolls? Venmo for rolls?
And no one knew what that meant. Venmo Iggy laughed, but no one else knew what it meant.
Venmo for rolls? Venmo for rolls? He said twice like that?
Right.
All right.
And then a guy came back with a $20 bet, and that's fine, which is good. Because I seriously would have put a lot more on it.
For sure.
I was so confident in this play. And again, looking at the quote unquote process, which now is a word that I loved a couple of years ago, and now like Instagram models are using it in completely inappropriate ways, so I have to find another word. But the thought process of it, I'd do it again based on what you're seeing and knowing what the pitching situation is going to be. But I mean, what are the chances you're going to have two teams combined for, what was it, 2 for 23 runners in scoring position, and Charlie Morton go 4 innings of shutout ball, 6 through 9, I guess.
Charlie Morton is suddenly the best pitcher in baseball.
How about that?
Never saw that coming.
How about that?
And Cody Bellinger, absolutely helpless at
that. And I'll tell you what, if you want to talk about a key thing in this World Series, Alex Rodriguez is absolutely on target about you, Darvish. But when you have in the cleanup spot, I mean, it's one thing if it's kind of number six or even your leadoff spot, but right in the middle of that order, having a guy that it's almost like the opposition's salivating to see because they know what they're going to do. It's like you're playing RBI baseball, breaking ball low and inside, breaking ball low and inside.
Yeah. He tweeted that.
Oh, did you really? You tweeted out an RBI baseball, breaking ball low and inside?
No, he tweeted, why would anyone throw Bellinger a pitch that isn't a breaking pitch?
I said,
inside?
If every pitcher threw him breaking balls low and inside, he'd hit 0 for the year.
He looked. The swings he took, he didn't even look like a major leaguer.
And the other night, when he had a couple of hits, he gets that first hit, and he was joking around. he was like, "It's a," he could hear him. He said, "It's a miracle." And then he joked that they should take the ball out of play. So we have a souvenir over that.
Yeah.
For a guy who had a monster year, he was out of sorts.
He found it for about 2 at-bats there. I forget what game it was. But other than that, he struck out like 18 times, 19 times.
Set the record. The judges said earlier.
Yeah, feel sorry for him.
So when it's all said and done, 5 years, because this is what I think happens with World Series. I don't know if how great this World Series will be remembered in 5 years.
Because of Game 7.
And Game 6 was very good, but what is remembered more often than not, I think, and this is of course subjective, are the moments in elimination games. And 1 through 5 across the board were very good, with 2 and 5 being insane. Game 6 was very good, but it isn't like something that you'll be looking back on, like a 2011 World Series, for example. And Game 7, unfortunately, kind of like the Cardinals and Rangers, was the worst of the seven. And Barstool Big Cat, somebody posted this on the band page. It's like, this game's probably going to end up being Astros 7-1 or something like that. And we're all just assuming the Dodgers are going to come back because the World Series has been so good. And I think I know I certainly fell into that category, but it wasn't like based on hope. It was based on seeing how they were hitting McCullers so well and knowing that he wasn't going to be in. And then the Astros bullpen was crap. And I was not going. I certainly didn't expect A, the Dodgers to go 1-for-13 runners in scoring position, but B, Charlie Morton come in there. I'm certain AJ Hinch wasn't expecting.
Let's not put letters in front of your points.
What?
You don't say A and B.
Okay, so like, I did. Like it's Roman numeral 1.
Outline.
I didn't expect the Dodgers
subset
to go 1-for-13.
You don't have to subset.
Roman numeral 2, I don't even think A.J. Hinch expected Charlie Morton to go 4 innings.
I didn't care who won. I had no rooting interest. It was a great World Series. I found myself caught up in it. I was just hoping for a closer game. And yes, midway through, even when they were down 5-0, 5-1, whatever it was, I felt like there was another chapter to be written because of, as you said, the bullpen, the Astros bullpen, and also the games that we had already seen. There was a lot of offense, and we didn't see much of it. So I do think that's going to hurt people's overview of the World Series, which is a shame.
If Game 5 had been Game 7 and they had won that 13-12 on a walk-off, it would probably go down as, this is the greatest World Series
ever. You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
They did have a proposal in the post-game celebration.
Take a listen, Doug, to this. This is Carlos Correa.
I saw that.
Take a look. Right here. It's right.
All right, go ahead and hit the lever,
Paul. Now I'm about to take another big step in my life. Daniela Rodriguez, you make me the happiest man in the world. Will you marry me?
Will you marry me? Oh, my God.
Let me put it on you.
I'm a millionaire.
He went to Jerry.
Rock was huge.
Oh, it was the biggest diamond ring I think I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yes? You goes like this?
I got a tear. Not as big as a tear when I saw Beltran tearing up. I did that. I felt, and Carlos Beltran is very nice guy.
You won't find anybody to say a bad thing about
him. Yeah, and he got his ring. Didn't play a huge role, but very happy for him.
That diamond ring that Daniela Rodriguez got, it was the size of a sewer lid.
Yeah.
It had to be a couple hundred grand for the ring. I mean, it was enormous.
See, I don't judge it by its dollar worth. I judge it by the feelings attached to it.
If I'm Correa, I would have got a nice discount from the ring provider and had a little sponsor. Advertising sponsor, you know.
Like Neil Lane on The Bachelor.
Yeah, right. That would be sick.
And here's another disappointing thing. So, you know, they give away the truck and it's great and everything, but I did want another bite of that apple of having some, you know, junior executive from the Ford company or whatever, whatever, have a misstep, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, that guy delivered it too smoothly, unlike the guy
like that at all.
From technology and stuff. Yes. Doug, remember him?
Right.
This is kind of what it's all about. It's why you clock in early. It's why you leave late. It's why you do the extra sets when everybody else has already gone home and you're in the dark in the gym and it's just you and another guy spotting each other and massaging each other after you've worked out and maybe taking a steam. Doug, this is...
I don't do that. I've never done that.
This is it. It is our pleasure to welcome to the Ryan Kelly Morning After here on 590 The Fan. Joining us on the appliances counter phone lines, ladies and gentlemen, Stingray. Good morning, Stingray.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are wonderful. We were just talking a little bit about the World Series. Did you watch the Dodgers and Astros?
No, I didn't, because I'm not a baseball fan.
Right. Oh, I'm getting emotional about it. But yeah, I know that Mississippi State has a huge game this weekend. UMass, you take a look at UMass, and this is a nice, nice team.
Yeah, I mean, Mississippi State should win that game going away because of the SEC pride. You know, we like to pride ourselves on being the best.
Right.
Except
see the Purdue game in September.
That team up in Rocky Flop.
Oh, Rocky Flop, Doug.
Rocky Flop?
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
You understand, though, if your team doesn't take UMass seriously, they're. I can think of a dozen teams that that went to UMass thinking
Amherst.
This isn't, and they end up only winning by 40.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder sometimes with Danny Bullard, you know, is he looking at those job opportunities out there in Gainesville, or is he looking at Knoxville if Butch Jones is let go, and he's looking ahead to next Saturday when Nick Saban comes to town at Storkville. Is he looking ahead, and can UMass jump up from the weeds of Amherst and shock the world and beat Mississippi State?
It all depends on how well Nick Fitzgerald plays.
Fitz.
Yep, that's the our offense this year. And the two losses that we've had against Georgia and Auburn, Nick did not play well because they were able to stop the run game and force him to pass the ball. And A&M was not able to do that last week. And that's the reason Mississippi State won going away. Is because, you know, they could not stop Nick Fitzgerald. Now, you know, Alabama comes to town next week, and that's going to be an interesting game because nobody's been able to run on Alabama. So what do you do then if you're Coach Mullen and Mississippi State? Do you open it up? I mean, because we've seen Coach Mullen before, even though – you can't run on Alabama, he's still going to try to run Nick Fitzgerald against Alabama. So I'm really interested to see what happens next week, and especially our defensive line and linebackers versus those talented running backs for Alabama. Because really, our defensive line and linebackers, that is the key to our defensive success this year. Guys like Leo Lewis, guys like Jeffrey Simmons. Todd Grantham has come to Starkville and added the nasty attitude back to the boys on the defense. Mm-hmm. And it's really going to be interesting to see how well we can handle Alabama. Because in years past, Alabama has really been able to, you know, just do whatever they want to against our defense. And last year in Tuscaloosa, I believe the final score was like 59-3.
Doug, was that 59?
Alabama. You had a 58. I don't remember what it was.
You're hosting them next week, Stingray. Yeah. Is that game time been announced? I would think that's going to be the 2:30 game on CBS. Wouldn't you have to think?
Well, that also that weekend is a very interesting game on who could potentially go to the SEC championship.
Georgia, Auburn?
Georgia.
Wow. Yep. And that's on the Plains, Doug.
Yep. So okay. It's either going to be State Bama or it's going to be Auburn, Georgia. So,
are you looking past UMass? Because here's the thing.
Grantham won't let them.
UMass, I know defensively they're one of the top squads in the MAC. They have that linebacker Johnson, who I think leads the butter squirrel. What do you think of that UMass Johnson and their linebacker Johnson, the butter squirrel?
You know, they've won two in a row, so they have a little bit of momentum coming into Starkville. Mm-hmm. But you know, and you know, another thing too is, when you look at the BYU game that we played, it was an early kick, and we started off real sluggish in that game. Mm-hmm. Well, Saturday we have another early kick at 11 a.m.
And you're facing the butter squirrel.
So who knows? But I still think talent-wise, Mississippi State gets the win.
Well, it,
I still think that.
UMass did beat Georgia Southern, Doug, and they are coming off an overtime victory over Appy State.
Tough competition there.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they have some
rugged schedule.
Now, tell us about your TV show, because I saw you tweet out that thing, and it looked very well done, very professional. Are you on the cusp of becoming a national television star?
Well, we are attempting to try and push it to get network executives to look at it and pick it up. It is a show called Wedding Coaches.
Wedding Coaches.
Wedding Coaches. And what happens is myself and another coach gets fired for fighting at a high school football game, and the head coach's daughter comes back from an internship at ESPN, and she starts directing weddings. Well, what we do is, in the show, we set up the weddings and then turn the families against one another during the ceremony and start calling it like a WWE match event as they fight and all that stuff. And so it's called the Wedding Coaches.
Wow.
And we're really trying to get that picked up and really trying to get it promoted. And we're thinking right now that if it doesn't pick up any traction by next summer, we are going to self-produce the first season of it and stream it online and then see if we can't get some steam rolling with that.
Now, are you the writer? Do you write it, too, or are you just one of the characters?
No, I am just one character. I am Coach Cole. I'm Coach Cole, and basically my part is like the John Belushi of the show.
Is it a reality show, or is it all?
No, it's like a sitcom.
It's a script.
No, it's a sitcom. It has a script and everything, and the guy's worked really hard on it. Now, the guy that does it, the guy who's produced it and wrote it, his name is Pete Stone.
Oh, Stone.
And he's had previous shows on before that made it. And
what shows was he responsible for? Do you know what shows he did?
There was one on PBS that he did that was pretty good. I forget the name of it right now.
Pete in Staten Island. What's up, Pete?
So we're trying to really get that one going. And it was a blast to go over to Athens, Georgia, and record this summer. We had 2 days to film, and we shot 16 scenes in 2 days, 8 a day, and it was just absolutely exhausting. But a lot of fun.
Are you who's backing this? That costs a lot of money. Are you one of the backers of this, or do you have deep-pocketed people involved?
Pete Stone has his own production company, and he's really, really worked his can off to try and get this, you know, up and running. And believe it or not, if you go to his YouTube page, he is a Clemson fan and does a lot of Clemson stuff like I do for Mississippi State. His is called Tailgating with Tigers on YouTube.
Very nice.
So he's a really nice guy, and he's a huge Clemson fan, and he absolutely despises the Gamecocks of South Carolina.
Yeah, Doug, that's the big rival down there. And just like Jennings Jr. does not like Clemson, but he loves feet. Stingray, so who is the opposing coach, and who is playing the role of the daughter who left ESPN but now is coaching weddings?
Her name is Alicia Evans, and she is trying to become an actress.
Well, it sounds like she already is an actress if she's starring in this show.
Yes, but you know, she's an up-and-coming. She's got, you know, she had her degree in acting and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the coach is played by a guy who owns a bunch of radio stations out of Columbia, South Carolina.
Excuse me. All right.
And so these wedding families are going to fight each other when they get up to the altar, and there's going to be brawls in the church?
Yeah, the clip is available on his Twitter account. You should look at it. It's pretty well done.
Yeah, maybe do a little show prep, bro.
How did they find you? Because if I'm a producer, I look at you as more as a sort of an action star. How did they find you for comedy?
Pete Stone looked me up on Facebook, and he sent me a direct message back in March and said, I followed you for a long time, and when I saw your rants, I knew immediately that you were going to be Coach Cole. So if you are interested, please contact me. And so I jumped on that, right off the bat, because I'm always trying to do something new. and, you know, diversify a little bit, you know.
Got to. And got to diversify so, in 2017. You got to, and you're right.
Did you have to get a SAG card for this?
I did not, no.
No, okay.
Not yet.
Staten Island, what's up, Pete?
Not yet. Not
if
yet.
If you send us like one of the episodes, I mean, all of us here have so many contacts, the movers and shakers in the industry. Send us one of the episodes that we can all look at, and we'll get it in the right hands for you.
Yeah, Iggy has some contacts in
Vivid,
L.A.,
Vivid.
Specifically San Fernando Valley. But either way, it's L.A.
Okay. Awesome, man.
Good. Good for you, Iggy. Thanks for helping out on that.
I'm happy for you. This sounds like a fun project, and it could end up making you a star. Not that you're not already. I think it's a
bigger
great
star,
thing.
Bigger star.
Well, good for you.
And then I saw your tweet yesterday, and it looks like you and Daniel Tosh were hanging out.
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, Daniel reached out to me. Well, actually, his producers reached out to me back in May, and we were trying to coordinate the best time for me to go to L.A. And as a matter of fact, the first week of September, I was actually out in L.A. filming the segment that's going to air next week on November the 7th at 9 p.m., and it's going to be based on, you know, Mississippi State versus Alabama. And, of course, Daniel is on the side of Mississippi State because he cannot stand Nick Saban after, you know, Saban did the Dolphins so wrong.
Right.
I'm not leaving. And then 2 hours later, he's on the plane to Tuscaloosa. And so it's going to be a really, really funny and exciting show next week with Daniel Tosh and myself.
Nice. Congratulations on that, sir. Tosh.0, Doug.
Things are happening. My thing is, I've seen people when suddenly they become big stars and they change. Are you concerned that now that you've found the star, you're on
question.
The cusp of
becoming... That's a tough question, but it's a fair question.
Do you think that it might change you at all?
No, sir. Not at all, because I was raised, no matter how big or how popular or how much money you have, you always stay humble, and you remember the people who help you get to where you ultimately want to go.
Amen.
So, no, sir.
Amen,
I'm always going to
It's a good reminder for you, Doug.
You get a double ring on this show. That's the ultimate sign
of
respect,
that's the
sir.
Ultimate. What was the first thing you did with the money from wedding coaches?
I invested it, you know, because in this economy, you might as well go ahead and save for a rainy day because, you know, everything is so expensive now. And plus, I'm not a big spender anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I always try to save my money and then try to, you know, make it grow. But, you know, interest rates are so low right now,
it's
an absolute disgrace.
Right.
Yeah. You can't just
put it How's your portfolio right now?
Yeah, it's you know, the interest rates are not that good right now.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I'm keeping my fingers crossed that they will start coming back up eventually.
Now, you're responsible with your money, but just among friends here, what's the one thing you treat yourself? What's the one thing you don't
mind? That's a great
question.
Laying
down a little question. You know what, Stingray? I've done some good works here. I'm going to treat myself. What's the one thing you spoil yourself with?
Zaxby's?
Vinyl records.
Good for you. Vinyl records, Doug.
Vinyl collection. I have a huge vinyl collection.
You got that Van Halen 1984, do you?
I do.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a good one, Doug.
All of my records are from new stuff all the way back to the 80s, country. I just love everything about vinyl. I even think it's better than CDs. There's something about
I agree.
Taking
a nice
record
sound.
Out, holding it in your hand, and then putting it on the record player and putting the needle on the record. It's so awesome. And by the way, I was really upset that we lost two icons in the music industry over about the past 6 weeks. One was Tom Petty, and the other one was my favorite, Fats Domino, out of New Orleans.
I found my freon. Doug, you ever sing that Blueberry Hill, sir?
Oh, yeah.
I sure do.
Now, what does some of those ladies down in Starkville think of your newfound success?
Yes, as a matter of fact, they're pretty nice. And some of the cheerleaders, I met some of them at the quarterback club, which I'm actually going to again tonight. And a couple of them are from Alabama. And one of them came up to me and was like, I love your videos and you're hilarious and that kind of stuff. And I was like, all right, that's pretty cool.
You get any dates out of that?
Not yet, but I'm still working on it, though.
Well, when
I'm
you become working a on big it. TV star with your new show, I expect that'll turn around.
Stingray, just go up to one of them. Like, my next project is trying to find a guy who trying to fall in love. You want to be the female part, and that's how you
set
yourself
up. Don't you think Hollywood's
up.
Had enough of that? Don't you think Hollywood's had enough of that kind of BS?
Yeah. That's right. And by the way, real quick, you know, because I feel like I'm amongst friends here when I come on. I've also did a lifestyle change, and I have lost 20 pounds.
Oh, my word.
I've never felt better.
Good for you. Yeah, what'd you do, Stingray? What are you doing? You're cutting back on the carbs? Are you working out? What's the move?
It is working out, exercising every single day, trying to walk about a mile, mile and a half a day. And then I'm also lean meats, leafy green vegetables, salads, no breads, no sugar, and exactly no carbs whatsoever.
Wow, wow, wow. Are you lifting weights as well, or is this just walking at this point?
It's walking at this point, and then eventually I will start lifting weights, but I've got to get some of the excess fat off right now.
What caused this change, sir? The trip to Hollywood?
No, I was at the point in my life, you know, where everybody's like, once you reach 30, it's going to be really difficult to get it off. And I played around with it long enough. And so I was, I had to make a lifestyle change, and I believe it's for the better.
Good for you.
You consider doing any of your video topless?
Oh, duh.
Not right now. Maybe later on, but not now. No, not at all.
Yeah, Doug would watch more. I know that. I don't know how popular that kind of activity is in Starkville. No. I would think it's kind of the Castro of the South, but
not right now. But I do want to let everybody know that I am a lot healthier, and I'm enjoying the ride down. I really am.
Well, that's
good. Is there any nudity in your documentary that you're doing?
He's doing a sitcom.
Your sitcom. Any nudity?
What sitcom have you seen with nudity? Do you remember? Do you remember Growing Pains with Richie Stabone having
the kids on Netflix?
If Iggy's out of line, Stingray, his mic was supposed to be off.
I apologize for that question, Stingray.
Actually, if it gets on Netflix,
you bring up a good topic.
I know.
Cut that off.
Pause. We were supposed to do a scene in the trailer that ultimately will be done if the show gets picked up, where the bridesmaids at one of the weddings wrestle in a mud bath for the bouquet.
Okay, now I'm going to watch the show.
I have to dive in the mud and wrestle with the girls while they fight for the bouquet.
The bouquet. It sounds like there's going to be some lesbianism.
I don't know. It's just a
it'll
really
help the show.
It's a really fun thought of script, and we're hoping that it really picks up and goes places, because it has a lot of potential.
Look at this, Doug. This guy's on Tosh. This guy's got his own show. It might get picked up.
He's getting healthy.
Boy, he's gonna make it big.
You're gonna be banging them two at a time, Stingray. You're gonna be banging them two at a time.
Yes, sir. I hope to now.
Doug, that's what it's all about. And Nick Saban is going to be vanquished in Starkville next Saturday, if you can get past UMass.
Yes. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, Mississippi State has had nine losses against Alabama. So, yeah, I don't know. It's easier said than done to beat Nick Saban in Alabama. But I will say this. If we finish the season 9-3, losing to arguably three of the best teams in the SEC, Mississippi State fans will take that.
Let me ask you this, because I know you said Dan Mullen loves living in Starkville, and who wouldn't?
Right.
But there's going to be some people pursuing him with all the turnover in SEC. Are you worried this is Dan Mullen's final season as the head coach of Mississippi State?
No, I really don't. I'm not worried about it because, you know, his wife came out on several different podcasts and radio shows around Starkville and said that they really love Starkville. And if they did not like the way they were treated by the Florida fans in Gainesville when they were there before, and Coach Mullen was an offensive coordinator, so you can only imagine how bad they would be if he's the head coach. And guys, let's be honest, Mississippi State has realistic expectations of if you give us 9 to 10 wins every 3 years, they will build a statue of you out front. And out front of Davis Wade, and Mississippi State and Dan Mullen. Coach Mullen is 9 wins away from becoming the winningest coach in Mississippi State history. Mm. There is absolutely no pressure on him, and if he continues to beat Ole Miss, or as he likes to call them, T-Sun, that school up north, his job is secure. So why would you go somewhere where you have a lot more pressure when you have none at the job you have, and you're making $4.5 million a year?
Yeah, that's why we stay on AM.
Right.
So I just don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, our old AD, Scott Strickland, who is a very nice guy who I've met many times, is down at Florida now. So you obviously know that Coach Mullen's going to get the call to go to Gainesville. I just don't think he's going to go, though.
There's a lot of talk here that he might want to step up to a much more glamorous program like Missouri if Barry Odom doesn't survive this year. Have you heard those rumblings down there?
I have not, no. But, you know, Missouri, there were a couple of ESPN, I don't know if you saw the bowl projections or not.
Doug always looks at bowl projections and power rankings.
I don't.
The bowl projections had Missouri actually sneaking into the Birmingham Bowl.
Oh, fingers crossed.
And six. I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
Clip that off.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where the bar is, unfortunately. Right. But do you see him beating Florida? You got Coach Shannon really impressing some Gator fans in his press conference on Monday. Maybe those Gators are going to be fired up. What do you think? It's a huge 11 o'clock start in front of 40,000 people.
Man, I don't know, because Florida's offense is so anemic right now. I'd give anybody a chance against Florida. Florida can do nothing on offense. So, yeah, I mean, Missouri has a chance. Yeah, they sure do.
Nice, Doug.
Now, after what Mizzou did to Idaho, there's a lot of people in SEC country saying these Tigers, that's not a team you want to play right now. You think a lot of the rest of the SEC is afraid of Missouri?
I think the SEC East should be. I mean, because Kentucky's on a downward spiral right now. I mean, you know, they got blown out by Mississippi State, right, but they beat Tennessee. Yep. But now what do they do?
They play Vanderbilt.
I tell you what. So, I mean, realistically, and look, you guys finished the season with arguably the worst team in the West with Arkansas. I mean, Brett Bielema may be on his way out too this year, and nobody expected that.
Well, yeah, I think Missouri is really doing well recruiting too. Don't have any players from the state of Missouri yet, but there's a chance they'll go down to Mississippi and steal some of those from Mullen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Doug.
Yeah.
And, hey, look, y'all also got basketball to look forward to, because don't y'all have one of the top recruits in the country that came to y'all last year?
That's right, Michael Porter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So basketball could be good for the Missouri Tigers.
Yep, too. Doug. So that's what we're turning our attention to. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're focused on Florida. Hey, let me ask you this, Stingray, because our listeners love when you're on the show. I think you're one of our most popular guests. Is there any way, and I know you have the TV shows going on, but is there any way, if our people could work out a deal with your people, does JHE work? Do you guys have a firm in Mississippi? I would be kind of surprised, but
we have tentacles everywhere. Tim,
oh, really?
Yeah,
wow!
Yeah, we can handle whatever.
Do you have a DBA set up when you're down there? Or do you actually function as JHE?
Yeah, we function as JHE with a lot of security.
Where they send the guys in the bottom 10% of law school? Where they have to go?
But if our people could talk to your people, is there any way you would come up here and do an appearance when we do a live event of our show? Because I think our audience would love to meet you. You're one of our most popular guests. And I know you're busy, so I know I'm asking a lot.
And we have a lot of ladies would probably like to meet you, too.
I think so. If you've ever met a woman who waits tables from the Metro East, wow.
Man, that'd be awesome. I'd love to come up there. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You don't happen to have a foot fetish, do you? We have a little special on the foot fetishes sometimes.
No.
That's not your bag?
No.
Well, we can put you up in a very nice La Quinta. There's a nice one by the airport.
Right off 44.
Awesome, man.
Good.
Well, yeah, let's plan on that.
Doug, this is huge. I'm looking at the December. I'm looking at, assuming the Missouri's not playing Alabama in the SEC championship, but I'm looking I'm looking at December. December TMA Live. It'll be one for the ages, Jack.
All right, guys. Well, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. And maybe, who knows, maybe we can all go down and catch a Missouri basketball game or something.
Doug, wouldn't that be great to head down to Columbia to watch a Missouri basketball game with Stingray?
It would be fun.
That would be wonderful. We could bring Larry Nickel, and I'd be talking to Stingray. I go, Larry, what do you think about this? And I go, hold on. He goes, no, it's Stingray. And it'd be a whole thing.
Now, guys, doesn't Mississippi State come to Columbia this year in basketball?
Doug, when does Mississippi State play?
I don't know. I don't have the schedule memory.
It was in Starkville last year.
It was. Yep. That was a great game. Kim Anderson bunch really battled.
We could schedule it up around that weekend, that would be awesome.
When does Doug? Are you looking at the Missouri? Are you on Tiger Board?
I'm trying to get to the schedule.
What are you looking at the uniforms for this weekend? It's gonna be great.
No, I think they're gonna wear gray uniform.
I got Saturday, January. Oh wait, this is Starksville.
Starkville.
Oh, it's in Starkville again.
Oh. Yeah, it is.
When you fly to L.A., Stingray. How do you get there? Like, can you go from Jackson to Los Angeles? Is that what you got to do?
No, I went from Birmingham because, I live in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, that's right.
So I went from Birmingham to Dallas, laid over in Dallas, Dallas to L.A.
Very nice. You go LAX? Yep. You go LAX, baby?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Stingray, February 10th, 2018, 1 p.m. tip-off in Columbia. Versus Mississippi.
Yeah, but by that time, his show will have been picked up by the networks, and he would
be
out now.
Yeah, you might be.
That'd be awesome.
You'll be living in Chatsworth by then.
Would you move to Bel Air or Beverly Hills, Malibu, if the show hits big?
Yeah, sure. But now, I will say this, though. We are trying to get it locally produced here in the South, because a lot of people don't know, but there are a lot of studios and acting that has sprung up around the Atlanta area due to the tax incentives that you get if you do a production in Georgia.
That's correct.
And so a lot of things are starting to be produced in the Atlanta area.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? Ozark was shot in Georgia?
Yeah.
Right. Is that right?
Will say this too. Right outside of Union City, which is in Atlanta, the upcoming Godzilla film just finished up this summer recording in Atlanta.
Wow, I always thought those were shot in Tokyo.
No, well, the American version is going to be here there in Atlanta.
Well, it'll change up the cast a little bit, but Doug, what a wonderful production that'll be. Well, Stingray, congratulations on all the success. Can't wait to watch you on Tasha next week, and I would imagine your show is going to get picked up, especially now that you have Alicia.
We're hoping for you. We're rooting for you, partner.
Yep. Thank you, man.
And we certainly hope to have you here in the St. Louis area and maybe go down to Columbia for a little Missouri and Mississippi State as we get ready for the NCAA tournament.
Man, that'd be awesome, guys. And before I let y'all go, Hail State.
Hey.
And for all the Missouri listeners out there, M-I-Z.
Oh, C-O-U, Doug. How about that? There he is, the best in the business, Stingray. Thank you, Stingray.
Thank you, Stingray.
Right, thank you, guys.
There he is.
I think
they
Stingray.
Don't get any better. They just don't get any better.
The real MVP, Stingray.
And for the record, that very popular show, Bosom Buddies, was actually shot in Bismarck.
I didn't know that.
No, that happened.
Tax incentives there, too, probably.
Is that North Dakota or is that South? Because I get Pierre.
Pierre. One of the Dakotas.
South.
Yeah. I don't know.
North is Bismarck.
There's a Sioux Falls in there somewhere.
Henshin's in South.
Right. Bismarck.
South Dakota is very hot right now.
North. Okay. It's in North Dakota, we've decided.
I mean, we're still sitting here doing this show 13 years in, and Stingray's going to Hollywood.
All he does
is stand in front of YouTube cameras and scream with a cowbell.
How many followers does he have on that YouTube channel?
No, but
you get a bunch of them, you start getting paid and paid good money. Though.
You have to have like millions, though. I think.
Who's to say he doesn't?
No, I think once you get to like 20 to 25 followers,
you're
getting that $100,000 range.
Stingray has 22,000 Twitter followers.
1,700 YouTube subscribers.
Very nice, Jack.
That's not bad for being more probably local than national right now.
But he's a budding national. Star.
His face, I mean, he got to make it big in Hollywood. There's no way with that voice and his look, he's a hit for sure.
He'll be a big star.
The Cardinals just announced their spring training schedule. Literally just popped in my email inbox.
Did it? Marlins?
The St. Louis Cardinals announced their 2018 spring training schedule today. The team's 30-game Grapefruit League slate is set to begin on Friday, February 23rd, at Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter, Florida, as the visiting team against their complex co-tenants, the Miami Marlins. Oh, you saw the schedule?
Yeah. No, that's who they play most of the time.
It's going to be weird when Stanton has to just go across that field.
And then after that, they'll play the Nationals, and then they'll play the Marlins.
What about the Mets?
And then they'll play a game against the Mets, and then a couple more against the Marlins.
Now they'll have some with the world champion Astros, Jack.
Right, one or two.
Can we get Stanton?
Be nice to see the Marlins in there.
Do you want to get Stanton?
Well, I don't know.
Ozuna, Yelich, who do you want?
Somebody. I just don't know that Stanton.
Pitchers and catchers report February 13th. And they conduct their first workout on February 14th. The remainder of the Cardinal players are scheduled to report on February 18th with their first workout set for February 19th. So 4 days later, they're playing a bowl game, eh?
My guess is Tommy Pham is already there working out.
Getting ready, brother. The Cardinals will break camp on Sunday, March 25th, following a road game against Natitude in West Palm before heading north to Montreal to play two exhibition games versus the Blue Jays. They're playing at Olympic Stadium still up.
I hope the roof is still over that building, because that could be rather chilly there in March.
And they open to the regular season schedule.
I bet they'll love that trip. They'll love going from South Florida to Montreal for an exhibition game.
I don't know. If you're a single guy and you get to go to Montreal.
That's where the tail went, Toronto, Montreal.
You've been up there?
No, but my buddy who races, he's in Canada a lot, and he
your buddy
says,
what?
You think he races dirt tracks a lot. He's in the
he has a TV show. It's in the market.
No,
he's picked up.
He kills it. He makes a killing, and his parents are loaded too. So he goes up to Canada a lot. And he's
a Canadian guy.
We don't have girls here.
Yeah,
we,
2 years younger than me.
Girls in the United States.
Yeah, but Montreal.
Oh, he said they're all blind. A blonde dime. All blonde dime pieces.
Oh, come on, they aren't.
Yes, they are.
The whole population.
He showed me Snapchats, and they are gorgeous. They're not blind, I promise. They're just hot.
Very nice.
Okay. Okay, I'm sure the Cardinals will be thrilled to go to Montreal because they might find a dime piece.
Right.
We'll ask them when we're down there in spring training. So you're pretty excited about this trip to Montreal, where you will finally see a dime piece?
Yeah,
because you're in South Florida.
You're in South Florida for a couple of months.
Anywhere else.
All right, we got a break. Kelly Chase brought to you by Petromart coming up. It is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.